The following is a message recorded during the morning worship service at Valley Bible Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, please visit our website at vbcmt.org.
Friends, good singing. Good evening. It's good to see you this evening, and Merry Christmas Eve. As we continue to reflect and worship this evening, it's my joy to just lead us in some devotional time from God's Word. And certainly if you brought a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1 or just follow along with what is perhaps familiar words for us. But Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, filled with quotes of the Old Testament as Matthew writes to a Jewish audience, and we'll actually see one of those in our passage this evening. After tracing that lineage of Jesus' genealogy in the first 17 verses, we read in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, familiar words, the birth of our Lord. It says, in Matthew's account, it says this: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." He called his name Jesus. Names are special. When someone remembers our name, that communicates them caring for us. When we name our children, it's often that name has a special, perhaps, significance or meaning in the family line. And in like fashion, in the scriptures, names are significant. Biblical names often revealed something about the one bearing that name, or perhaps even described or proclaimed a truth about God. And biblical names have a richness embedded into them. Even the name of our God, Yahweh, is built off the Hebrew verb of being. He is. He's the I Am. And we have two names here in this passage given to the baby in the manger. Names that they remind us this evening who he is and what he came to do. The names, of course, are in verse 21, Jesus, and in verse 23, Emmanuel. Two names that show forth richness and glory and beauty about who our Lord is. And before we look at them, I just want to remind you of the context in these familiar verses. Verse 18, where I started reading from, says that Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and we might say engaged. But we have to remember, first century engagement, betrothal, is different from engagement today. It was more binding. Once betrothed, a couple was legally bound. In fact, they could be referred to as husband and wife, and yet they didn't come together for one full year, the betrothal period. And that year, that betrothal period, would culminate in a grand wedding and procession in which the bride was taken from her father's house and brought into the groom's house as the couple was transitioned from betrothed to married. And that's why in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 can say that Joseph was Mary's husband While at the same time, one verse later in verse 20, it says that that he had not yet taken Mary as his wife. So it says both that Joseph is her husband and yet not yet had taken Mary as his wife. Well, that's because they were in this betrothal period. Verse 19 says they had not yet come together. And so this was before they were brought together in marital oneness. And that's the context in which it's discovered that she's with child. But remember, this child that is in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, Joseph doesn't know that. You know, the virgin birth is something that's familiar to us, perhaps, but it wasn't to Joseph. And so if you're Joseph, there's only one possible explanation. The woman that I have loved and prepared my house for has been with another man. And yet we see in verse 19, you can see Joseph's character. It says that he was a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, or more literally, unwilling to disgrace her. He could have, but he didn't want to make a public scandal. He refused to shame Mary. And that was probably because I think Joseph, he loved Mary. I wonder if you thought about that. I'm sure Joseph was heartbroken. He was betrayed, perhaps felt appalled, but his love is seen in his discreetness and gentleness. And in the midst of all of that, verse 20 says this. It says, but when he had considered this, so Joseph is processing, when he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is born of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary, literally take her to your side. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. There's more at play than it seems, Joseph. It's not the unfaithfulness of your fiance that's on display. This is actually the faithfulness of God's promise to humanity. And that brings us to these two sweet names. The first one is Jesus. Verse 21 says, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is a name, Jesus is, that highlights our Lord as Redeemer and as a Savior. Jesus is a Savior. In fact, this Greek term, Jesus, the word behind it is Jesus, with roots tracing all the way back to even the Hebrew name Yehoshua. And you think about these, to make that more complicated, Yehoshua developed into a nickname over time, Yeshua, and all these names, the Hebrew Yehoshua, the later nickname Yeshua, the Greek translation Jesus, or the English in our Bible, Jesus, they mean the same thing. They mean Yahweh saves, the Lord saves, the Lord is salvation. But it's not that this child would trust in or rely on the Lord's salvation. No, he would bring salvation. He would be salvation. That's why the angel tells us his name shall be Jesus. Why? Because he will save, he will deliver his people from their sins. And not just the people of Israel. A people, Revelation 5 says, from every tongue and tribe and nation, redeemed by the life of this child. It's a visitation, as Pastor Joe read chapter 2 of Luke's gospel, of good news and great joy to all peoples. So the baby in the manger says something, how God, he himself saves. He is salvation. He doesn't just provide eternal life. He is eternal life. John's gospel says this is eternal life, to know Jesus Christ and the Father. So salvation is from him. It's through him. It's in him. He is salvation. He's Jesus. Yahweh saves. And Joseph's bestowal of this name upon the Son, it reminds us this evening, man does not save himself. Man does not forgive his own record of debt. Man does not cleanse his own heart. No, humanity needs a Savior outside of ourselves. In fact, this verb, verse 21 says, he will save, that verbal phrase, it sometimes means to heal or to deliver from physical danger, but we know that that's not the meaning here. How do we know that? Because he will save from what? From sins. As Pastor Joe said earlier, Jesus Christ came into the world, 1 Timothy 1, to save sinners. That's the same language. And sin, verse 21, is not just breaking God's rules, if you will. The term means something much more weighty and something much more ugly. The five images, one writer said, the five images behind this term for sin are rebellion, corruption, violation, trespassing, and disobedience. Think about those. Rebellion, corruption, violation, trespassing, and disobedience. And I just wonder, for each one of you here, is that how you think about the human condition? Is that how you think about your own heart apart from the grace of Christ? Ephesians chapter 2 says that man is dead in sins. Not just that we have done things wrong or against God's law or rules, but it's part of our nature. Sin is part of what we are as humanity, by nature children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2 says, sons of disobedience, dead in sin. It's part of our very human condition. And the Bible teaches that the mind is darkened by sin, Romans 1, that the heart is enslaved to sin, Jeremiah 17, that the will is bound by sin, John chapter 8, that the conscience is defiled by sin. And so to save, to have a Savior means that this child, Jesus, he would one day be not just the baby in the manger, but the man on the tree. The arrival of this great good news ends in our Lord punished as a substitute for sinners, rescuing us from the penalty and the consequence of sin. Romans 6:23 says that the wage of sin, what your sin earns you and my sin earns me, is death. But God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of that is bound up in these first moments of the child arrived because he's Jesus who delivers from sin's enslavement and ruin. You know, there's people all over our nation, all over the city of Billings, all over in a gathering for a Christmas Eve service that are ruined and enslaved and in bondage to sin apart from the sweet mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we think about Jesus as Savior, as Redeemer, and that's a pleasant thought, but it implies that we need saving, that we're lost, that the light of the world comes into darkness. We sang it together already tonight. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Till he appeared and it was bestowed on him the name Jesus, that he saves from sins. Verse 22 goes on, it says, all this, that is the pregnancy, the timing, the angelic visitation, all this took place to fulfill what the prophet spoke. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. This, of course, is the second name in Matthew's account of this narrative, Jesus and Emmanuel. And you can see, if you follow along in your own Bible in these verses, you can see that this verse, verse 23, is a quote from the Old Testament. It's in all capital letters. It's language that's taken from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Which is actually, amazingly, a prophecy to southern Judah, to an ancient people long ago, in a time where there was national unrest and political instability. And the temptation facing that southern kingdom of Judah was to place confidence in man and in treaties and in political alliances that would eliminate trusting the Lord. And this prophet, Isaiah, said, no, the Lord can be trusted. And here's a sign to prove it. The woman will be with child, and his name will be Emmanuel. Now, we're familiar with those words from the Christmas story. as we've just read this evening. But Isaiah goes on in chapter 7 and says that when this child grows up, or rather, before this child grows up, the ancient kingdoms of Israel and Aram will no longer threaten southern Judah. So in the book of Isaiah, this quote that we read in Matthew's gospel seems to predict a near fulfillment occurring in Isaiah's day that would be assigned to Isaiah's king. Not only that, we see a child born a few verses later, and it's not Jesus. So here's a question. How does this all fit together? What's the angel saying to Joseph? And of course, the answer is that the child of promise born in Isaiah's day is like a signpost pointing forward to the child of promise. He was one who prefigured and corresponded to God's own child coming into the world born of a virgin. But notice again what this name is, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Maybe you're familiar with this background, but Im is the Hebrew preposition for with. Emmanuel, Im, with. Anu is the suffix for we or us. So Im, with, Anu, us. And the last part of Emmanuel is El. And that's a word for God. Maybe you've heard that before in terms of El Shaddai, Almighty God, or El Elyon, God Most High, or simply the term Elohim is a term for God. So El is a word for God. You put that all together, you have Im, with, Anu, us, El, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word become flesh to dwell among us. And that just never ceases to boggle my mind, that the Holy One, that He's transcendent over us, He now becomes God present with us to partake of the human condition in its weakness and limitation, to bear our griefs and failings as one of us, genuinely, to feel the pains and sorrows of a world torn by sin. He didn't contemplate it, friends, from a distance. He didn't send an ambassador in his place. No, he came. He came as God with us. And that makes him able to sympathize with our weakness because he's like us in every way except without sin. One old writer said regarding the astonishing degree of humility and the astounding glory of the incarnation, he said this, quote, "Though creation may be a majestic organ of praise, it cannot reach the compass of the golden canticle, incarnation. There is more in that than in creation, more melody in Jesus in the manger than there is in worlds upon worlds of rolling in their grandeur around the throne of the Most High." And I just remind you this evening, friends, that God with us means that Jesus, he set aside his crown in heaven, if you will. To be God with us was to veil his heavenly glory and splendor. To be God with us was to leave fellowship with the Father in heaven. To be God with us was to embrace all the mental, emotional, bodily limitations of humanity. And not only that, he came as a child. I mean, just think about that. Think about what it is to hold a child in their limitations, their vulnerability, their dependency, their helplessness. The infinite one, limitless in power, eternal, glorious, commanding the host of heaven, he became small and weak, little baby hands and toes. The one who spoke reality into existence. He now subjects himself in time and space to that created order in order to save us by being one of us. So he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. In Christ, we have a Savior who redeems and a Shepherd who is with us. He is Jesus. He is Emmanuel. As one man put it, "When I came to ask my wife to marry me, I didn't send someone else to do it. I went myself. Why? Because in matters of love, one must go himself. It's as if Jesus says before he's ever born, I myself must go to be their ransom, to be their champion, to be their shepherd, their savior, their substitute. Why? Because in matters of love, one must go himself. And so this astounding reality, believer, that you know well, that God became flesh, that might be incomprehensible, that might be boring to many, but to those who believe, this truth is irresistible. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It stirs the flame of a believer's heart with awe and humility. And so I ask you this evening, does the glory of Christ come to earth? Does that set and fan the flame of love in your heart? Do you know this baby as the Lord? These two precious names, they're windows into his coming, into the glory of the incarnation. Glory we could continue talking about tonight. But as you reflect tonight and tomorrow, remember these names. Jesus, that he saves from sin, that he's a redeemer, a rescuer, one who dies for us, one who lived and died and paid for our crimes. Jesus and Emmanuel, one who is drawn near, one who is with us. Well, let's pray as we reflect on these truths together. Our Father, we thank you for the sweetness, the amazing wonder in which the Lord Jesus came, and that there's a richness even to what he was called on those very first days as he was named by his human father, Joseph. And we thank you, Lord, for the richness of meaning behind these names. And we ask that it would not be lost upon us, that we would not be confused or distracted by lesser glories, but that we would understand the redemption that was in mind from the very first day, from before the foundation of the world even, that you would come to save sinners by coming yourself in the person of your Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kindness, for your plan of salvation, for your rescue of sinners. We reflect on this with joy this evening. In your name, amen.